Let me declare this meeting officially opened and welcome honorable members, our support staff, the DG, Deputy Minister, DG and your team in this meeting. As the invite indicated clearly that we'll deal about the progress that has been made with regards to the agri-parks and also the progress report on the Rama issue. I will not waste time, but I will request the committee secretary to indicate the apologies that she has received.
Well aligned in terms of the agriculture policy action plan of government.
We want to also then obviously through the AgriPass program ensure maximized access to markets for all our farmers, because this is one of the key areas that have been a challenge for smallholder farmers and black farmers in general in terms of the value chain. We want to maximize the use of high potential agricultural land, and then obviously maximize the use of existing agro-processing bulk and logistics infrastructure. And then the 10-year thing. In terms of the definition of the AgriPark, again, just to remind that the AgriPark, in terms of the South African context, we decided that it's not going to be just one space or one 50-hectare farm, but rather a whole network of issues or components that will actually form the entire AgriPark. So it is a network innovation system of agro-production, processing, logistics, marketing, training, and extension services located in a district municipality. As a network, it enables a market-driven combination and integration of various agricultural activities and rural transformation services. And the three key components of the AgriPark then are the farmer production support unit, really the component which is closest to the farmers themselves, the component where a farmer can go and access extension services, any kind of immediate support that they require, some type of storage, and some type of processing. If one looks at whatever I'm producing in my 1 hectare area or whatever I'm producing in my own backyard garden, I can be able to go and convert it at this particular point so that I can use for my family but also use excess in terms of the market itself. The AgriHub is the key component around the processing. This is where your major processing, packaging, logistics is going to be happening. So this is where your distribution networks to the surrounding domestic markets, to the international markets begin to start coming into play, and where your processing and your transformation of your products come into being. We're also saying, and you'll see as I go in terms of AgriHub, that it also is the place where we'll try out different kinds of new technology, training, etc., that will be happening. And then the Rural Urban Market Center is really the point of intelligence in terms of market, where we bring in that intelligence that can flow down back to the farmers. It can also act as a holding facility in terms of excess product that needs to be held until such time that it is a better price on the market. This is just showing you the linkages then in terms of the access of the AgriPark itself. Remembering that the AgriPark is made up of those three components, we're saying both commercial and smallholder farmers will be able to access the system. The smallholder farmer may make use of all the components of the system, from the FPSU, the Farmer Production Support, to the AgriHub, to the Rural Urban Market Center. All of them key that we're trying to drive from production to market access. The commercial farmer may decide that they only want to come in at the point of AgriHub for the transformation of the commodity in terms of the value chain, or they want to access at the rural urban market center. And anyone, then they will be allowed to do that. This is just a static representation of the AgriPark. The gray circle on the outside then being the bigger catchment area of the AgriPark, and then the circles in between becoming the farmer production support units. So in a district, you will have only one AgriHub, which is your major processing component. You may have several farmer production support units, depending on the farmer capacity within that particular area, the density of farmers that exist in that area, but you may not always have a rural urban market center. Rural urban market centers, you may end up with four in the country, because they are really the major points where everything comes together in terms of this particular point of area. These still remain the same in terms of the areas that have been identified across the country. And just to indicate that the process in terms of identification of the areas was done firstly with a full analysis between the department, the CSIR, ARC, Department of Agriculture, in terms of where particular commodities are grown, what infrastructure exists across the country, in terms of EDD, where are the global gateways, where are the local gateways, where are the domestic gateways, and then proposals were made to the province and district. The province and district then, through their own structures, working with the farmers, then workshopped this and themselves proposed the final site selection for those areas. So eventually, this is something that came back then from the ground up, but in most cases, it came very close to the original sites that had been identified. This is just to show you that if we are able to implement the vision as it is right now, that by the time we get to 2025, this is the coverage the country will have in terms of the AgriPark network. And one would see then that nearly all of the areas in our country, except obviously those browner areas, etc., where even in terms of the current climate change issues, there will probably be very little chance of growing in those areas or sustainable agriculture in those areas. The rest will be covered by agricultural production. So in terms of our progress as we stand right now, we have been implementing this program or planning, designing and implementing since the State of the Nation last year. And currently we have set targets and milestones for ourselves. Since in everything we are doing, we have projectized this whole program so that we are able to follow the targets that we set. The target date for site identification in all of the districts was the 17th of May. We completed this work by June 2015. Obviously, quite tight timelines and the provinces and districts had to do consultation, etc., before they were able to sign off. In terms of stakeholder and community mobilization, this is not a target that ends necessarily on a specific date. It is an ongoing process, but we have certain activities that have to be completed, and we managed to do that first level of mobilization of the community and the farmers within the districts by August 2015. In December 11th last year, we launched the governance structures, which is your AgriPark Management Councils, which are made up of community bodies at the level of the district. And really, the District AgriPark Management Councils are intended to be the voice of the people. So it is a structure that includes in it members or representatives from organizations like your Women in Agriculture, your Youth in Agriculture, your Traditional Leadership, etc., etc. So all of them have representation, and at the moment, in terms of the organizations that represented, we have about 28 people sitting in a DAAMC. In the National AgriPark Advisory Council, these are members that are appointed by the minister. They represent, again, various institutions that Minister believes can play an important role in driving this program forward, and they then have also their chair and deputy chair nominated by the minister. Then in terms of the program, obviously, in order to drive such a major program and the infrastructure component of such a program, we know that all infrastructure cannot be done in the space of 1 year. We would have started, some would have been completed, but others would have still been underway. But we knew that if we have to move in terms of the AgriParks program and ensure a level of sustainability, we have to make sure that at the production level, work is also happening. Otherwise, as we move forward and finalize the infrastructure and the production is not aligned, we will then have so-called white elephants. So we put in a lot of investment and a lot of time in ensuring that on the production level, we had increased production across the country. We worked with the Department of Agriculture in the provinces, and production plans then were implemented across the provinces. Obviously, we then were hit by the drought in many of the areas, and we had to then do some kind of realignment. But again, the support stayed with those farmers. And we realigned in the process and started to work with agriculture in the provision of feedlots, etc., to help farmers on the ground. We also then developed a prototypical AgriPark model, and that was done by July last year. We've been showing this across the country in all of our mobilization workshops, etc., so people understand visually what the AgriPark is all about. We also have developed, for communication purposes, a visual production which shows the vision 2025. It is actually a short video clip. I think it's about 6 minutes long, and it's going to be translated now into different languages so that by end of this month, so that we can use it from the district level in all of our communities to make sure everybody understands what we are driving towards. In terms of construction, obviously we wanted to be on the ground by 30th of September. We would not have been on the ground in all 44 districts because each of them were at different points in terms of planning. But various areas are currently under development, either at the point of the farmer production support units or at the agri-hub components. These are just some of the examples, but provinces have been much other work happening as well. in Kisani, in Boka area, we have work that is happening. They were lucky because work had started and we continued in terms of that. In Ngapa Modiri Molema in Springbokpan, it was one of the first provinces that came on board. We finalized with the province renovation of silos in that area so that it can service the surrounding farmers. And we have completed, you'll see in the detailed sheet on this one, we have completed then the designs for the mechanization center, the administration block, and the mill, and that construction is going out at the moment. But in addition, we did a lot of support and mobilization of all of the surrounding smallholder farmers in this particular district. So they were able to up their production in the area to provide the current silos in terms of input at the moment. In Nkangala, in Kamilport, they are also busy with a fresh produce market. In Eshlandreni, they were busy at the moment with the fresh produce market. But in Bushbuck Ridge, there is work happening at the moment around the irrigation schemes and around the cold storage facilities, etc., where the designs are out for contractor appointment. The province had in the past already constructed a mill, and they wanted to expand that particular area. So that is work that is continuing, but that had been done before the AgriParks came into being. In the Cape Winelands in Witzenberg, we are busy with bulk energy infrastructure so that we can unlock that area for them and unlock the industrial park area for the hub to come into play and support them to the surrounding farmers. In West Rand, in Grantley, Gauteng is really moving. They have decided in Gauteng that they're going to focus on vegetable production, and they have been putting up tunnels. The area has been clearly demarcated. They are putting up their different facilities, both as the major component in terms of their hub, as well as in the various, and you'll see Seribeng is the same in terms of the various areas around them for their farmer production support. They've also managed in many cases to find a market already for their farmers that are producing. So they've been working on the one side in helping the farmers in the surrounding area at the same time while they put up their tunnel infrastructure and their storage facilities. In Harib, in Springfontein, there is work happening at the moment. The designs for the area have been done, but as we stand at the moment, they've just demarcated and fenced off the agri-hub component. So this is just some slides in terms of the work that we're doing, because I think often pictures can also tell a lot of the story. This is Alfred and Zoe in terms of the support they've been giving to farmers in terms of a custom feeding program. This is also in the Eastern Cape in Kisani, in terms of the fencing, etc., that has been done to support their farmers. You'll see here in all of the different areas, also in Kisani. These are all the projects under Kisani District to support then eventually the Nwosa scheme that is going to be there. This just also shows the public-private partnership where farmers then are being supported in terms of the planting of their areas working together with private sector. Okay, and then this is the work that is being done in support of the citrus farmers in the Sarah Bartman District Municipality, and you'll see later in those detailed slides that I have that in this particular district now, the Department of Public Works and Roads have come on board, and they are then dealing with the entire road network for those farmers, because that was one of the major issues that the farmers had, because their produce was getting damaged in terms of the roads before it got to the market, and once the citrus is bruised, then it cannot be sent out of the country. In terms of Jokabi, you see the work that they are doing in terms of supporting the livestock farmers in that area. In Amatole again, and in Gauteng, the work that I was speaking about that they are busy doing in their different areas, the fencing and the tunnel structures that are going up. Okay, this is Becker's Dal again, the work that they are doing in terms of their packing facilities and their admin facilities, and this is Aikenhof also in Gauteng. And this is Merafong, again, all their tunnels already up. So those are farmer production support units. This is in Limpopo, also a fresh produce market. This is in Northwest, the one that is the area surrounding the current Springbokpan, the farmers that were supported in terms of their planting. We haven't been able to plant all the areas because as we were halfway through with Department of Agriculture in the province and the farmers, that's when the issues of drought came. And so we didn't necessarily plant all areas, but most of it, about 70% of the area is planted. Okay? And this was the silos that had been renovated. Then remember that in order for us to implement the AgriPass program, we had to ensure that each of the districts had a business plan, because they have to have something that begins to be the footprint for them to work from. So we developed with the districts, we appointed teams to work with them to develop these business plans, to show them the linkages then between where their farmer production support units are going to be, where their agri-hubs are going to be, and where their rural urban market centers are going to be. So the business planning specialists were appointed, and out of them, 34 draft business plans have been completed, and they are being consulted at the moment with the district agri-park management councils. So the district agri-park management councils, out of that, will help us to develop an implementation plan for that district. And that we will have by the 31st of March, and it will guide our budget allocations also within the new financial year. There were two business plans that were completed by the districts themselves in Sekokuni and Utugela, so they did not require assistance from the department. And then the nine that we were a bit delayed on in terms of service provider appointment, because in the first round we did not find anyone to assist, their draft will be on the table by the 20th of March. We will consult with the DAMCs and have the implementation plans then by the middle of April. Then remember that when Minister announced that he is going to have, in terms of the 2 billion rand that we had set aside, that 20 million rand of that should be for capacitation of the district municipalities. So what we did then, we have worked in terms of appointing sort of a PMU at the level of our provincial offices, which are accessible to all of the districts. They have an economic advisory service, so they can be able to test business plans through that process. They can be able to draft business plans through that process in terms of accessing that technical capacity. We also then have been able to appoint additional technical advisory services around the built environment issues. But we did not succeed in getting a team per province as yet. But we've gone out again on procurement for the rest of the remaining provinces, but we have a team at national which is filling the gap at the moment for all of those provinces which we could not find someone for, but Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape and Gauteng have already been appointed. In terms of the way forward for the agri-parks, we are going to be continuing with the development and finalization of the district-wide business plans. We are going to implement the site-specific master plans that are emerging. So in other words, out of the bigger business plan, then they would have come and identified the exact areas of the farmer production support units, etc. And so we will be driving the implementation of projects then within that district. We will continue with the production support to smallholder farmers and the mobilization of communities. We'll continue with the market linkage development work that we are doing. And in terms of this work, we are working very closely with the Department of Trade and Industry, as well as other institutions like your CIFA, like your IDC, etc., in ensuring that we have a wide spread of the people with the necessary skills to assist us, and we are working then with the banking sector as well. We'll continue with development of processing capability. We also are developing and empowering the AgriPass governance structures, so we're working on proper workshopping sessions, leadership training, training in terms of agro-processing and enterprise models for the DAMCs, and that starts in the first week of April. And then we are also doing training and capacity building sessions for the National Agri-Park Advisory Council. The first session has already happened now in the month of March. We're also working on the development of the financing and investment models. These are going to be key. Remember that even though the state may be able to come in and put in the first lot of critical enabling infrastructure, you do require the private sector to be able to invest in this particular model. So we must be very clear on the financing and investment models that we have in place. Development of the governance framework for the 70-30 policy, this we're finalizing at the moment, and it will also be in place by the end of March this year. And then we're developing the AgriPass management structure. Remember that even as we've been moving along, this has been something that we really needed to work out about how is the park itself, this entire system, going to be run and managed? How are the hubs going to be run and managed? How are the FPSUs going to be run and managed? And then we're working then on the appointment of the managers for each of the agri parks, and that then should be able to go out in April as we move forward. We're working on the communication roles and responsibilities of the department at all the levels, and giving secretariat support services to the district agri-park management council. Then we also are trying and testing something out with the CSIR and the Department of Science and Technology and Department of Agriculture to find a way to bring technology and make it more useful to the farmers themselves, so that they are able, through that technology, to be able to make certain decisions much quicker, to be able to know market information and market intelligence. So we're trying and testing this model out, and we'll do it in 3 districts by September and October this year. And if it is rolling out well, we'll then expand in terms of the system. It's based on mobile devices being supplied in the field, and these are the departments that we're working with in terms of an SLA that we have with them. So that is the way forward. But attached to this, Chairperson, I don't think I'll go unless you want me to go into the detail of each of the districts. But each of the districts, what we did is we put you a summary slide to show then in terms of organizational support, where is the district, in terms of planning support, in terms of production support, how many projects have been implemented so far, and then in terms of the construction itself, what is happening and how many jobs. So if you would like, I can just run through them very quickly, or otherwise, shall I go through? Okay. In terms of Alfred and Zoe then, in terms of Alfred and Zoe, we have the organizational support, the District Agri-Park Management Council established. In terms of planning support, we've already done the district-wide master plan, and the draft has been circulated. Remember I said that they are busy now having the discussions, and the final, sorry, that's end of March, not end of February. Then in terms of production support, 17 animal and fowl management projects have been implemented in this district to the value of 12.2 million rand, and we've done recap projects in that particular district covering 944 hectares. In terms of the FPSU itself, the commencement in terms of the planning and design for construction is going to be now in the 2016-17 year. They've been working on their plan. They were a little behind in terms of the Eastern Cape district. Amatole, then the same thing, their business plans will be done by the end of March, but their drafts were on the table by February. Two River Valley catalytic projects, that means irrigation schemes, have been supported to the value of 7.5 million rand, covering 228 hectares, impacting 45 farmers. They have two ABMP projects, and they obviously sharing sheds to support the livestock farmers, and then you have recap projects to the value of 22 million rand, covering 845 hectares, and 11 farmers supported. In terms of the Agri Hub and FCSU here, they had already chosen Butterworth as the Agri Hub component, and we already now have appointed a contractor for the construction of the Butterworth Abattoir, and that work then, the contractor has already been appointed for that work and will start working in this month. Jobs so far, 547. In terms of Kisani, the District Agri Park Management Council already established. They also have their district master plan in place and consulting at the moment. The production support, they have two River Valley catalytic projects already done, and they have six ABMP animal and fowl projects already done, and they have recap projects to the value of 57 million rand impacting 24 farmers. In terms of the Agri-Hub component here, they've been doing work on the hub, which is in Goka Park, where work had already started previously, and they're doing work on the farmer production support units. In the farmer production support units in Kamata, they are working on the upgrading of infrastructure at the moment, and they've provided tractors to the surrounding areas for the farmers in terms of planting, 199 jobs created. In Jokavi, they also have the Agri-Park Management Council established. In terms of the planning support, the final business plan is being consulted at the moment with all of the District Agri-Park Management Council members and will be in place then by March 31st. Production support, 8 ABMP projects to the value of 21 million rand, impacting 1,806 hectares and supporting 120 farmers, 90 jobs created. In terms of Oatambo, organizational support, DANC established, same thing for the business plan. In terms of production support, 3 ABMP projects to the value of 9.7 million rand, covering 1,626 hectares, impacting 698 farmers. And here, they've also been working on their farmer production site. in Mzanduli, in terms of what they refer to as the red hub, and their silo and milling plant is functional at the moment, but they are now working in terms of supporting the surrounding farmers. But obviously, the SCSU and the hub part infrastructure will still continue in this financial year according to their plan. 299 jobs created. In terms of Sarah Bartman, same thing in terms of organizational support and planning support, but under production support, they have one ABMP project to the value of 15 million rand, covering 1,687 hectares, impacting 7 farmers. They have VCAP projects to the value of 17 million rand, covering 6,324 hectares, impacting 10 farmers. In this particular area, remember I said when we started the consultation process with the farmers, even as they develop and move forward with their storage and packing facilities in the hub component, they had said that one of their major challenges was around road infrastructure. And so the department in the province then has come on board, and they're busy with area-wide maintenance in the Sandes River Valley to ensure that the goods are not damaged on their way to the market. Total jobs created, 19. This one here just shows you also the details coming in terms of the production. I won't go into each one, but it then shows also what rural development and agriculture are doing in terms of the production plan that I was referring to in this particular district. In Free State then, if I move to the next province, Thabo Mofokeng, AgriPark Progress, they also have a district AgriPark Management Council established, and their final business plan was also on the table end of February, but they're consulting, and it will be there then by March, end of March 2016. In terms of production support, one ABMP project to the value of 3.8, three VCAP projects to the value of 6.2, covering 1,009 hectares, 18 land acquisition projects for 226 million rand, covering 21,000 hectares. Four enterprises supported to the value of 6.6 million rand. In terms of the AgriHub, they have identified the area. In this particular area, there is an SEZ that is going to be in the same place as their project. So they have started, we're going to start with their fencing project at Siame, but that project at the moment was just about to go out on tender, but they're having discussions at the moment in terms of the final site, because they're just going to move it next door to where the current SEZ is, because there's an investor that is coming in into Siame as well. So the total jobs at the moment, 35. In terms of Mangaung, again, the same process around the organizational support and planning support. Their production support, three ABMP projects to the value of 5.3, supporting 238 farmers. Two recap projects to the value of 4.3, supporting 1,099 hectares. 17 land acquisition projects to the value of 165 million, covering, covering 12,000 hectares, three enterprise projects supported to the value of 2.1. In the AgriHub and FPSU, their fencing has already been designed, and their road regraveling is at a tender stage at the moment. Total jobs, 110. In Kharif, the organizational support and the planning support is the same process. They had their business plans on the table and they're busy consulting. Production support, two ABMP projects to the value of 5.7, covering 9,250 hectares, 135 farmers. Nine land acquisition projects to the value of 76 million, covering 17,532 hectares, and one enterprise project to the value of 835,000. And then they have already identified their site, I was referring to, and have already fenced off their site, but the construction work inside will have to start this year in terms of the design that they have. Total job, 75. In terms of Lejwela Putsa, they have also same thing around the organizational and planning support. Production support, they have 15 VCAP projects, 44 land acquisition projects, 4 enterprises supported to the value of 3.1 million. And in terms of their hub and FPSU infrastructure support, they have their fencing project out on tender at the moment at 1.5 million rand, 15 jobs created. In terms of Sesile Dabi, they have production support, three ZCAP projects to 13 million rand, covering 1,395 hectares. They have 17 land acquisition projects covering 195 million rand in total, but this is work that is covering the entire area. and then they have 14,498 hectares, one enterprise project at 1.6 million rand. In the hub and SPSU, the Parais Agri-Park fencing with an estimated value of 1.5 million rand is currently at tender stage and will be out at the moment. Total jobs 20. This again shows you in terms of their production plan in Kharib, Mangaung, and where the tax Bani Lima money is also going in those districts. Okay, in Gauteng, I'll always go straight into the production, whatever, because I think the first two is the same in nearly all of them. Production support to ABMP projects to the value of 7.5 million rand, supporting 14 farmers. Four enterprises to the value of 3.5, supporting 508 hectares and 70 farmers. Three recap projects to the value of 8.7 million, covering 207 hectares. In terms of their hub, this is where there's a lot of work that's happening, I said, in terms of Gauteng. Lekkerdal, you'll see the fencing, the tunnels, the equipping of boreholes, the office block, the packhouse facilities, the paving around the office and road, all of them almost 100% complete, some of them already completed. In the Econoff site, which is their FDSU component, they have the hydroponic tunnels, construction of office space, drilling and equipping of boreholes, 92 jobs created. In Sedibeng also came on a little bit later than the other one, but they've actually moved quite quickly. In terms of production support, two enterprises supported. Sorry, that cannot be zero. I'll just put in those figures. But these are enterprises then that are supporting enterprises around your arts and crafts, around your carpentry and your sewing cooperatives. 16 recap projects to the value of 39 million rand and the hectares 1,929. Agri-Hub and FPSU, again, the agricultural design and architectural designs completed and the building plan finalized. Their tunnels construction is 65% completed. The erection of their fencing is 100% completed. Their office block 90% completed. The ablution 95% and the construction of a packhouse 70%. 71 jobs created. This is in terms of their production plans again, and it begins to tell you then all of the different things around the tunnels and the shade nets, etc., and that they have signed an agreement with the NAMC in terms of work with the farmers around irrigation schemes, and this then links again back with one of the market access projects that they have at the moment. In KZN, in Zululand, remember KZN was one of the later provinces in terms of finalizing their site selections. But they are all on board now and their business plans also done. Seven ABMP projects to the value of 3 million, four enterprises supported to the value of 4.1, 13 recap to the value of 40. In terms of the Agri Hub, they have one project which is supporting the site in the implementation of 3 million rand in terms of the irrigation scheme. That is actually the work at the farmer production support, and that's 18 jobs. In terms of Utungulu, nine ABSC projects, handling facilities and fencing, three enterprise projects to the value of 6 million rand, 14 recap projects to the value of 21 million rand. And what they are doing in Utungulu is linked together with all of the irrigation schemes in that area, because a lot of work has been happening in the past years around the irrigation schemes. They are developing then their farmer production support units, and they're currently putting up some structures in terms of container kind of storage facilities for the meantime while they finalize, because their farmers already have produce that needs storage. So eight of them being constructed at the moment at Nsuze East in support of the irrigation scheme. 21 jobs created. In terms of Utukela, again, in under production support, five ABMP projects, four enterprise projects and 12 recap projects to the value of 16 million rand, and they are still to start with their work in terms of their hub and FPSU infrastructure. In terms of Unzinyaki, sorry for the spelling, production support, 19 ABMP projects to the value of 13 million, five enterprises supported to the value of 8.5, 10 recap projects to the value of 21.9, and in terms of the Agri-Hub and FDSU infrastructure, eight FDSUs being constructed at Nsinga to the value of 15 million rand. Jobs, 38 jobs. In Mkanyagude, again, six ABMP projects, five enterprises supported, five ECAP projects supported, And then again, this is an area where we have irrigation schemes that are already in, being supported, and they are busy with these storage facilities at Ndumo Beach to the value of $3.5 million. So far, the drop, that must be a mistake as well, but it's saying 9. I'll double check that. Ngungunlovu, in terms of the projects at the moment, production support, 3 AVMP projects, 8 enterprises to the value of 41 million rand, and a lot of them then being farmer support, and 25 DCAP projects to the value of 43 million rand, and they still to start work in terms of their infrastructure at the FPSU or the AgriHub. Total jobs, 38. In Ugu, 4 AVMP projects to the value of 2.8, 9 enterprises to the value of 11 million, and 6 DCAP projects to the value of 12.4, 14 jobs created. In Inembe, 5 AVMP projects to the value of 20.7 million, 5 enterprises supported to the value of 4.4, and 10 DCAP projects to the value of 6.2 million, total jobs 47. In Kariguala, 3 AVMP projects to the value of 3.5, 5 enterprises to the value of 2.6, and 14 recap projects to the value of 32.3. In Hariguala, remember that they are choosing the areas, and one of their focus is going to be in terms of dairy as well. In Amajuba, 2 AVMP projects to the value of 1.5, 4 enterprises to the value of 3.9, and 11 projects, recap projects to the value of 11 million. Now, you'll note in a lot of the KZN areas, under the AgriHub or the FPSU, there is still work to be done because that is still in the planning and design in terms of the commodities within that area. They are designing then the AgriHub and FPSUs. The progress in terms of construction in general in KwaZulu-Natal, 32 irrigation schemes commissioned in the area, 4,917 hectares currently under irrigation schemes. Due to the drought, we could only finalize planting of 5,834 hectares of maize and 538 hectares of vegetables, beans and nuts, 4 sheep shearing sheds under construction, 2 piggeries completed and 4 in progress, 7 poultry facilities under construction, 4 goat shed facilities under construction, 1 marula processing completed, 6 dams rehabilitated, 1 beef abattoir 90% completed, 1 groundnut facility 90% completed, and 2 fresh produce markets 90% completed. Okay, and then obviously the one that was opened by the province even before the AgriPark program, it had already been in construction, was the one in Utungulu, but Utungulu is now working on a linkage between that fresh produce market, the agri hubs, and the FPSUs in that district. In Limpopo, you have the same thing around the business plans. They are being consulted at the moment. 2 AVMP projects to the value of 2.8 million rand supporting 33 farmers. You have 5 enterprises supported to the value of 11.5, 27 farmers supported, and 10 recap projects to the value of 54.6 million. In the AgriHub and FPSU infrastructure, a business plan for a fresh produce market has already been finalized by Mopani. Fencing, debushing, and regrabbing of the access road was delayed a bit in the province, but because there were some disputes between the previous work that was happening and the broader work that needs to happen around the agri-park in that district around the fresh produce market. So that is being sorted at the moment, and the project will continue in the new financial year. 70 jobs created. In Sekokuni, 4 River Valley catalytic projects, 3,780 hectares, 1,490 farmers will be supported. 2 AVMP projects to the value of 1.7 hectares, 35 farmers, 68. 6 enterprises to the value of 6 million, farmers supported 200, and 5 recap projects to the value of 5.7 hectares, 248. A business plan for the renovation of the abattoir is being done, and the actual work will commence in the new financial year. In terms of Bembe, 1 River Valley catalytic project to the value of 12 million rand, supporting 20 farmers, 2 AVMP projects, supporting 24 farmers, 5 enterprises supporting 134 farmers, and 8 recap projects supporting 4,457 hectares. Designs for the packhouse have been completed and construction is planned then for the new year. 112 jobs created. In Bembe, it should also be noted that they had chosen Nwaneri, where they had previously started work, and in terms terms of the DAMCs and the province, they are in discussion on whether that will eventually become an FPSU, and they may just move the Agri Hub to a different area. In Capricorn, one river valley catalytic project to the value of 2.4, one ABMP project supporting 30 farmers, 8 enterprises supporting 20 farmers, 8 recap projects on 3,529 hectares. The surveying of the farm that they have chosen has been completed, and debushing and fencing will commence now as we move into the new year. 26 jobs created. Waterberg, one river valley catalytic project supporting 40 farmers, 4 AVMP projects supporting 6 farmers, 5 enterprise projects supporting 20 farmers, and 14 recap projects supporting 1,369 hectares, total jobs 18. In Mpumalanga, production support level, 2 river valley catalytic projects at the value of 8.1 covering 2,000 hectares, impacting 200 farmers, 1 AVMP project to the value of 3.35 covering 1,300 hectares, impacting 273 farmers. Now remember, some of this work will be work that is currently underway under that particular area of production support, so they're in implementation at the moment. In the Agri Hub and FPSU and Kushlu Pack House, the design's completed and they're awaiting bids, and the Mzinji feedlot is also awaiting the bid adjudication, and that will take up 19 million rand. Total jobs that will be created, 107. In Kangala, production support, 1 ABMP project to the value of 997, and then the Agri Hub, this is being led by the district municipality and the province. The fresh produce market is well under construction, and they're expanding that area to become the hub component. Total jobs, 63. In Kharsibande, 2 ABMP projects to the value of 2.97. In terms of the Agri Hub, they are busy with feasibility studies of the EIA and the plan, and 157 jobs being created. Now, it doesn't mean that they didn't do recap, it's just that we didn't have the information. I will make sure that you get that information for those three districts. In the Northern Cape, Francis Bart, production support, 3 ABMP projects at the value of 5.9 hectares, 5,970, impacting 11 farmers, 3 recap projects supporting 4 farmers, jobs 75. In John Paolo Kaitsive, 4 ABMP projects to the value of 8 million, supporting 56 farmers, 1 recap project supporting 7 farmers, 17 jobs. Namakwa, ABMP project covering 1,875 hectares, 1.8 million rand covering 14,000 hectares, 258 farmers supported, 1 recap project for 6 million rand covering those hectares, I just have to check, 13,000 hectares, and 64 jobs created. Production support in ZF Macau, 1 ABMP project and 6 recap projects to the value of 61 million rand, supporting 14 farmers, 73 jobs created. Fixing Kateme, 16 million rand covering 28,000 hectares, 9 farmers supported, jobs 38. In the Northwest Province, Bujanala District, 4 ABMP projects covering 14,000 hectares, impacting 35 farmers, recap projects for 10 million covering 1,300 hectares. And an EIA has already been conducted for the feedlot in this particular area. Total jobs, 12. In Zakamudiri Molema, ABMP projects to the value of 5.9 million, impacting 600 farmers. And then the province itself has completed the renovation of the silo, as I indicated, and we are now going out on tender for the office park, the food bank, and the warehouse with an estimated value of 18 million rand for this for the first phase only of the project. Total jobs, 90. Dr. Ruth Sekomotsimo Party, production support, one River Valley catalytic project to the value of 13 million rand, 2 ABMP projects to the value of 2.5, and recap project to the value of 22 million rand, impacting 15 farmers. And then the feedlot, the EIA for the feedlot is being conducted, 80 jobs. And Kenneth Kaunda, production support, recap project to the value of 6.7 million rand, impacting 4 farmers, 3 jobs created. And this then is the progress on the production plans. Remember I said a lot of work has been done around supporting the production, especially around the Springbok Farm silo, to increase then the output for those silos that have now been renovated.
construction support for enterprises supported in Cape Winelands, four recap projects to the value of $11 million, one land acquisition to the value of $8 million, two infrastructure projects to the value to support the site are in implementation at 45 million rand, and this is the bulk electrical network and the access road for the agri-hub. The contractors on site already, total jobs 36. West Coast, one river valley catalytic project to the value of 60 million rand. The Ebenezer irrigation scheme is actually a restitution project and is one of the major schemes then that will be revitalized for them to be able to produce and support the hub. Two ABMP projects, three enterprise projects, and recap projects to the value of 2.4. We also then in this particular area are working with the district and province on the Durangwai slipway for the fishing industry, which is one of the components of their hub. 81 jobs created. In Overberg, the four ABMP to the value of 2.6, three enterprises to the value of 3.2, two recaps to the value of 3.8, roads constructed in Kassis by Fisherman Village as access to the value of 4.5, 81 jobs. In Central Karoo, one ABMP project and two enterprise projects, and then the construction of the access road to the community, construction to start in, should have started in February, 5.5 million rand and 13 jobs created. In Eden, one ABMP project to the value of 2.4, four enterprise to the value of 12.7, one recap project to the value of 4.9, one land acquisition project to the value of 18.5, the road and stormwater infrastructure designed and in implementation to the value of 2.2 in the surrounding area of the hub, and the jobs, 92. And that is the detailed progress. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much for the detailed presentation. I did it intentionally because documents were circulated almost late to members so that each and every page is being clarified. Any addition? DM, you're welcome. DG, any additions? Honorable members, here's the presentation. Can we talk to the presentation? But just let me just indicate the issue of consistency. You know, in other pages where there are agri-parks, you indicated the name of the chairperson and the contact numbers. But in others, you just decided not to indicate the name of the chairperson. In others, you indicate the name, not the contact number. I think that must be corrected. If you indicate the name of the chairperson and the contact number, it must be so throughout the report. Maybe also to clarify the type of the enterprise supported. What type of support? This animal and pest management program and also the recap, are you taking the money from the recap budget or from the 2 billion allocated for the agri-parks? You know, almost all the plans were planned to, business plans were planned to be finalized by February 2016. Are they available, all of them? Because in other cases, you jumped in. Or you shifted the date that, no, here it's March. You know, are these business plans available? Can we get them as members? Then, you know, there was an outcry, I don't remember the place, that especially the smallholder farmers, that they were not properly, they're not part of this, you know, agri-park concept, they were not properly consulted. Although you have mentioned that the consultation is continuous, but when you start something, the first thing that you have to make sure is that before you start that particular project, there's intensified, we intensify our public participation or public involvement. What is your view on that one? Can you comment on that one? The departments that are part of the of this agri-park, are they coming as departments or with funding? Honorable members, can you talk to the presentation? Honorable Walters, Honorable Magasha, Honorable Mandela, Honorable Fildana, Honorable Chabeling.
Thank you, Chair. I think when you get a comprehensive presentation, you sometimes end up with a whole long lot of questions. So I'm going to try to keep quite a lot of questions that I have short, and I'll follow up with maybe official questions. Now, the formula of 70-30%, 70% smallholder farmer, 30% state and commercial farmer, I just have a question around that. How do you measure what a smallholder is? And also, given the economic realities in terms of production of what's economically happening in a district, is there a formula that can be used across the board? I can accept a model of 70% emerging farmer, but a smallholder is a very specific type of farming that seems to be included in the shelving. So I just can't get my mind around it. You know, what is a smallholder in, say, the middle of the Karoo? And how big a player is that person in that particular environment? And is smallholding as such necessarily viable? Isn't that where you should look at rather ownership structure than the type of farming? But so if you can maybe comment on that. Then what also concerns me, if I listen to the implementation of the AgriParks, any new venture, and then most industries take 3 to 5 years to find its feet. It's essentially your startup phase, which I don't think is independent from the implementation of AgriParks. Is this something that the expectation is that you implement this immediately on the fly, which then concerns because you start preempting what the market is going to say, that you start preempting what people actually can do? Is it something that's being rushed into? Was it something that is, I never want to say, a seeding capital approach has been taken, and then let the market and the market dynamics decide the way the AgriPark evolves? So I just wanted to get my mind around that. I'll get to the positive stuff just now. In terms of ownership structure of each one of these AgriParks, I think it would be useful for us as a committee. Again, I can use the official questions. Alternatively, the rest of the committee might also be interested in. When we talk of ownership of each one of these AgriParks, is it possible to actually get a list of the shareholding, a list of exactly who the people are and what share they own? I also think we're not going to be able to assess the viability, the success of the AgriParks looking at a presentation like this. And this is not a criticism, because I know there's a specific set of requirements that you had in drafting this presentation, but I think going forward we're actually going to need to know the financial viability. What's being produced there? Again, what are the outcomes? What's the profits? What's the cash flow? I think some basic financial ratios, I've referred to it in previous meetings, we actually need to know whether this is working commercially, for it to be sustainable. I also took note of the comments that you made about some of the plans having to be adapted due to the droughts. As an aside, and I don't want to distract the committee or the presenters, to what extent can this concept, the AgriPark concept, actually help with drought relief and the inevitable consequences that we're going to be having after this drought as well? And then another more specific question that I have. You mentioned the West Rand AgriPark. Now, I do think, and I did pick it up in the presentation, but I want to emphasize this, and I really think we can't lose sight of this. The AgriParks, certainly from a government support point of view, relies heavily on people not operating in their silos. It's a transversal concept. You have to pull different people from different levels of government, different government support departments together, and they have to work together not in a once-off or a sporadic manner, but continuously work together to make this a success. Now, specifically with a place like Brunflay, I also understand the same problem is in place in Aikenhof, I think it's the Sedibeng, that would fall under the Sedibeng district. There's a serious problem there with groundwater pollution. And specifically, you mentioned specifically vegetable farming tunnels being put up. I'm very familiar with that area. Has that been taken into account? Because you might just end up investing heavily in something there when the produce that's been developed is actually not something that can be marketed. And then there's all kinds of, also from an export point of view, I know there's all kinds of EU regulations involved there. There used to be a serious groundwater problem with sewage plants that are leaking, not properly being maintained, right next to that development that you're talking about. And my question is, has that been taken into account? Is the local municipality and the West Rand District municipality, are they both on board there? And then just in terms of the positives, Jay, certainly what the concept behind the agri-parks call it enabling emerging businesses, it's the tide that lifts the boats. It certainly is a concept that deserves, has merit and deserves support. It's in a type of an incubator approach it's the kind of thing that we think is necessary, but the devil does lie in the detail. It's easy to sit here at a committee level and say, well, we like where this is going, we like what is being said here. The devil lies in the detail. From my side, I would like to see maybe once a term a proper breakdown, agri-park per agri-park. What are the financials? What's the investment? What is the return that we're getting? What exactly are the outcomes the outputs vis-a-vis the outcomes? And I think we might need to look at developing a type of a matrix to monitor that, because this sounds good, but I've also seen, I've been around the block long enough to see things like this go wrong, horribly wrong, if all those elements are not pulled together properly. Thanks.
Thank you, Sir Bessin. I feel I must welcome the report. Firstly, you are talking about agriculture and more especially cattle farming, and even your slides showed us cattle. What about chicken or poultry and pigs? Who Chairperson has covered me on the issue of districts that are going to submit their business plans at the end of February. What is the progress as we are talking? I'm touched about the KZN province. All the districts have not yet submitted their business plans, and it means that we are lagging behind the province. Do you have any monitoring system to track the performance of these agri-parks, and in order to check where intervention is needed? In communal areas, what kind of ownership is provided given the existence of traditional leadership? You know, Chairperson, there was an event in my province. There were tables for the departments. I went straight to the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and asked the gentleman there, how many NRSEC students do you have in this district? He knew nothing about NRSEC. I'm not embarrassing you, DG, but I urge your department to the officials of that department must be on the ground. Please, they must be on the ground, not in the offices. I was very embarrassed about that. In that district, your official knew nothing about NRSEC students. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jay. Jay, I want to join Honorable Mugadla in welcoming this in-depth presentation and an overview, Jay. It is indeed very heartening to hear the good news, how the agri-park is unfolding across the country, Ajay. Ajay, wish to ask a few questions. You already touched on the one critical or two critical questions, Chairperson, with regard to the fact that in some the names of the chairpersons of the district agri board has been mentioned and others not. Doesn't it, in addition to that, I think perhaps TTG is perhaps a mistake, because in one slide in this, you indicated in the Overberg the location where the agri park is predominant, but somewhere in your last slide in ExoFec, when you give progress provincial progress report, you indicate Overstrand. Now Overstrand is not an area like Bredas or which is a municipality, you know. So I think there's perhaps an error there. Chair, I think it's important that we need to get an understanding exactly how this 70-30 breakdown in terms of ownership works in relation to those agri parks that have been rolled out already. Actually, we know the ideal, the model is 70-30, but we do not know whether that 70-30 manifests where it is currently existing. DG, you also spoke about the involvement of women and youth, but you have been silent with regard to mentioning whether any persons with disability, whether it's women or youth, are involved or not. One wants to believe and assume that if you are invincible, then you are not, and then you don't exist. And I hope you can be assessed with clarifying that, Chair. Another critical question that which the Chair touched on in the beginning is with regard to the current funding. You know, the President in his State of the Nation address have made it clear, announced 2 billion rand has been set aside for it. But we see when we, in terms of your presentation, there are many, for example, smallholder farmers that you referred to or have been part of ECAP, etc. You have also talked about restitution. Now, the question is, where are those monies coming from? Does it mean how much of the 2 billion rand has been spent currently, Chair? That is, I think that we need to have an understanding. Is it 2 billion still there, untouched? Is the DG using current funding in programs that is running currently and save the 2 billion for a rainy day? I think it's, we need to know whether that is the case. Honorable Bolzani will say, but there's no rain. You're going to wait a long time for the rain to come, also importantly, which is very, very good, that there is a lot of departments that are involved in this. Now, to what extent are they contributing? What are the contributions from DAF in monetary value, from COCTA, from DTI, from the provinces? I think it's important that we have that kind of an understanding. Hence, I'm asking, is the 2 million billion still intact, or the 2 billion funding the involvement of all departments, Honorable Deputy Minister? Chair, also importantly, for us, understanding what is happening here, Chair, is whether there is, whether this process is a process that encourages all participants to comply with existing legislation, Chair. We have been in public hearings this past weekend in both the Cape Wyland district as well as the West Coast district, and the horror stories that we have learned there, Chair, indicates to us that perhaps, DG, there's a complete misalignment that this process that are being unfolded. For example, in the Wissenberg, there were people complaining of terrible conditions under which they live on the farms and under which they have to live at the farms, you know. And the question is, where we have an public park like this, are there processes in place to inculcate amongst all the participants better understanding and compliance to the current legislation? I'm referring to our labor legislation so that they can pay their workers better. I'm talking about ESTA, that they do not evict people in the manner that they have been reported to us, because we cannot present a new thing and then forget about existing compliance requirements, Chairperson. Thank you very much. I think the other questions which I wanted to ask related to the number of jobs, about the DDG, you have covered that excellently. Thank you very much.
Morning, GM. Thank you for the opportunity, Chair. We welcome the report. It's quite refreshing to get such a comprehensive report at this early stage of this program. Just to finish off what Honorable Mandela referred to, 2 billion has been put aside in the freezer for rainy days. I think nowadays, Honorable Mandela, it's a matter of putting it away for the sunny days. What will you do when it gets too sunny for too long a period? Chair, a couple of questions to the department. As part of the design of the buildings on site, on each site, do you set aside a typical meeting or training hall? Because I guess one would need that kind of a facility. That's what my experience tells me. A place where people can gather from time to time, because a project of this nature would require that there is ongoing training rather than for them to have to be transported elsewhere at a additional cost. Do you also provide a transportation as part of the budget, transportation for the produce from the farm or production area to wherever? Or is the model designed in such a manner that people who want to come and get the produce will have to provide their own transport? The progress report that we're getting doesn't cover that, or at least I missed it. Water supply and electricity. What system of water supply do you provide? A sustainable one, that is to say, we've just been woken up to the fact that drought can have a devastating effect on agricultural progress, so to speak. What's the water supply? What type of water supply? Electricity. I know electricity can be quite a huge cost factor in operations of this nature, and yet you cannot really farm without it. Good to know that it's there, but have you been able to negotiate any special rates for the farming communities that you're establishing? Because the cost of electricity when it comes to farming can be so astronomical that it can actually take quite a good chunk of whatever profits you might have generated. Those are part of the input costs. So we want to know if you have been able to negotiate any special rates, or are you taking advantage of the sun in South Africa, as the Department of Tourism would often tell us, and provide alternative sources of electricity. Because once the department begins to pull off, and I've experienced this in our time, then people suddenly cannot cope with these input costs. You need water on a daily basis on a farm, you need electricity, a source of power, on a daily basis, if not hourly. So we need to be careful so that by the time you begin your exit route, then the cost, input cost will be manageable. On the slide on progress, expected employment figures. What I did was to do a little bit of arithmetic here after my question on the employment figures was answered as is scheduled, as is shown here. I find a big disparity in the cost of setting up each job in each province. Examples: Amajuba in KZN, 5.4 million, 80 jobs. Cost of establishing the job is something like 68,000 rands, if my calculation is right. Ngangala in Mpumalanga, 63 jobs, at 15,000 rands a job. John Dowler in Northern Cape, 17 jobs, 470,000 rands to establish a single job. Eden Park in the Western Cape, 92 jobs, 191,000 rands to establish each job there. Lastly, Eastern Cape, I've just sampled a few. I think I can't remember which one this is, but the cost is 21.1 million, 90 jobs, 234,000 rands. Why is there such a big difference in the cost of establishing a job? I know in the automotive sector, you can go even up to 2 million rands because of the high cost of the equipment that you've got to outlay. You know, your capital costs are very high there. Nowhere in the state of establishing. But now, I'm a little bit concerned about this big, you know, gap. 470 is against 68,000 rands. As against 15,000 rands in another province. I know the perception of like the type of job, but I think this is something that we should be looking at quite in quite a focused way to see the cost of establishment, because we're looking at the replication stage, you know, of this, because I guess that was about starting off with 44, you know, were sites for now. We should be beginning to say in the next 10 years we'll establish more and so on and so on. So that's why I want us to pay some particular attention to the cost of establishing this job province by province. Towards the end, Chair, and the links with pre-existing programs. Quite often people say every time you get a new Minister of Education, she or will come up with his own program for the next 5 years. Get a new minister in agriculture and come up with his own new programs. Many, many programs. I was particularly pleased to see that the department has wisely chosen Lambasi. I was crying about that because I was involved in 2001, you know, in the establishment of that Lambasi. So I'm very happy that Lambasi is finally going to be used now, because the government spent 5 million rands there. I was a social facilitator on that program 2000 to 2001. You know, so I'm glad that you've chosen it. I hope we're talking about the same site, DJ. So, that's why I want to know if there are any links, you know, with pre-existing programs or projects that people are running there. Lastly, how is the structure of bringing in or factoring in the private sector? I saw something like a 70-30%. I don't know what exactly that relates to. I know at the early stages when you presented the concept to us a year or so, you know, ago, there was something to that effect. But maybe if you can just help remind us, in terms of percentages, where will the private sector, you know, come in? Lastly, the effect of drought, where you have already started planting and producing, how has the effect of drought been like to you so far, if any noticeable at all? I thank you, Chair, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Chavele.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation. In fact, the more people ask questions, the more I get confused. Because I think that some of the people that were supposed to be participating in the program I left out, like the Department of Environment, because everywhere you go, if they were involved, I think they would have advised us on the issues raised by Honorable Walters, that there are environmental impacts, and the environmental impacts on the project, and the environment also impacts on the project itself, or the project themselves. I want to check again, what criteria do we use in identifying areas where these projects are located? One. Secondly, the terms of reference for participating in the agri-park. Madela has raised know, to some extent those issues about who qualifies to participate and who doesn't. Is it a free-for-all? There are issues that he raised. I think I'm adding on to the issues that he raised of, you know, labor laws. And we can check that even with the Department of Labor on human rights abuses on the farms and all. Will you allow people who are using the toll system on their farms to participate on this program? Those are some of the questions. And then the other is in the saving on the board. What are terms of reference, and what kind of skills are needed to be on the board, particularly to chair the board, because those are very important. For me, those are very important things, because I see the board as like, you know, the board as managers, as people who are supposed to give direction and say where we are going. I see on one of the programs, I think it's in City Bay, they're talking about sewing and carpentry. Enterprises supported. I think it's what the... this thing is not finished, actually. I don't see the thing now. But City Bank, they're talking about carpentry and other things. So I just want to check, good look. I know agri-parks are not only about... It may not only be about food. There could be other things. But if they are sewing project and knitting project, potteries and others, those are welcome. But why don't I see that in other, if that is the reason, why doesn't it appear in other agri-parks maybe? If that is to be taken as part of the business. And I saw some board members, particularly contact persons, been Ama Hoshi. I see Hoshi Moloto. I don't know if it's the name of somebody who calls himself Hoshi Moloto. Maybe it just could just be a coincidence. And there's yet another Hoshi again that I've seen on this. And yeah, my question of criteria, I think, goes deeper than just the question, I think so. Chairperson, Kiaolebo. And just looking for your person. Would we have a, let's say, projections to say, on this project, let's say City Bank, we've invested this much, and this is what we are going to be, okay, let's say sewing, like they say, there's sewing here in carpentry. It has no budget. There's no money allocated to carpentry and others. Can we make projections that we are going to make so many pyjamas? I don't know why I'm saying pyjamas. It's because I'm feeling sleepy. Yeah, I mean, how many drugs are we going to make this year? And then after a year, can we be able to say we targeted to make so many pairs of tracksuits, we made this many and this much, and you know, and see if we are making progress or not, even in terms of food production. If we say we are planting maize on this, giving everything, if things are to go the way we wish they go, can we say if we plant 1 hectare, 1 hectare of maize, we'll be able to make so many tons? Can we do those kind of productions, and then so that we can be able to see if we are gaining or losing?
Let me then give the department the time to respond, but also to just clarify to us, how does the agri-parks relate to your pilot projects on one household, 1 hectare? Is there any link between the two? And also about the creation of so many structures. You know, the structures that you are creating, there are too many. Are we going to be able to manage those structures? structures. Honorable Chabile.
I think even in terms of the shareholding, let's say decision making on the project, because if people put more money, these things are run like businesses. If I put more money, I'll have to take most of the decisions, you know. And if the government has 30% or less than others, so it means their input would be less. When decisions are to be taken, they'll be taken by those who've put more than, the majority shareholders, I think. That is the language. These board members, the management of this is going to pay their salaries, because I guess that this is not just voluntary work. And even if it is voluntary work, people get stipend for traveling and sitting on board meetings. How much are we going to pay all these boards? Those finer details will make me sleep well tonight if I get that information.
Honorable Robertson, your hand was up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As well, I'd like to compliment the department on this report. I welcome any form of success story. I welcome any form of effort that's been done from our side anyway. I've just got a couple of questions. Firstly, Madam Chair, I want to just reiterate what you mentioned right in the beginning of the meeting. It's incredibly difficult to absorb all of this without getting the documentation at least 2 days or something before the report, 2 days before. To sit over here and go through it all is one thing, but we actually need to be able to absorb it and go through it. So if I could make a request that possibly the department can make the paperwork a little bit earlier, available a little bit earlier for all of us, please, giving us enough time. Just on a couple of points of clarity, on the provincial progress reports, slide 11, you've got these green dots all over the country where the agri-parks are. And I can see if I look at some of the areas that I can identify with personally, I just wanted to know, as I say, just as a point of clarity, how were these boundaries drawn up? How were they determined with regards to the agri-parks? It could be a little bit of an obvious question, but I haven't been in the portfolio very long to be able to answer that myself. Secondly, on every report from province to province, we've mentioned jobs created. How does that tie in, those jobs that created, how does it tie into the capital expenditure we put in, as well as to the hectares of land? I just want to know if there's any association with that. And what jobs are they? Are they sustainable jobs? Are they culturally sustainable jobs? Are they just jobs for that's created for recapitalization, for instance, like the building of piggeries, etc., or is it actually agricultural jobs? And then thirdly, on the report mentioning a few of the provinces that there was the rehabilitation of dams, if you could just elaborate as to what is meant exactly by the rehabilitation of dams. And then also I want to know that if ERAs have actually been done to secure water to these proposed areas. With a little bit of an agricultural background myself, I know that dams are obviously a priority, and many of the areas work with dams and then canal systems where farmers get water from those dams, downstream from those dams. So are there any plans in place with regards to building more dams in areas where there are water shortages? Thank you.
Thanks. I just had one issue to refer to the Director General and ask the executive to help. The reporting format is tabled in the Treasury regulations. We really ask for that. The narratives are good. It's fine, well and good. But the reporting format has got to be complied with. So it's a compliance issue. It's not by choice. It's all I wanted to ask, Shane. But that Honorable Chabeleng was almost covering me, almost. And like when we're reporting now, this is not, if I got it right, this is not from the policy speech kind of APP stage. And therefore, the report should reflect against projections. And that's not what we have. So we have an all-time report, with due respect, with all-time report and a narrative, and very difficult to do oversight over it. I see members are doing their best to try, but I do know that it's unworkable. You can't do oversight over a narrative that's not pinned to any framework. Thank you, Chair.
Can we get the responses?
Madam Chair, there has been quite a number of questions, but I'm going to ask the judiciary to give a response. To give the responses, I just want to note the acknowledgements on the reports. I think there are two questions that I just want to reflect on. One is on the measurement on the smallholder farmers. I think we can provide the policy framework. We have got four categories of farmers that we are working with. We've got the very, what we call category one, which is your subsistence level, somebody who produces to supplement their own income outside of farming, or people who don't have income at all. The second category is what we call the smallholder farmer, somebody who produces at a small scale, is not entirely dependent on their produce for their survival. There are other income streams. They could be employed elsewhere, they could be doing other things elsewhere, generating income. Those are what we call smallholder farmers. In other areas, you would have, for instance, the benchmarking happening on the basis of the income that they earn from their production. Then we've got category four, which is your middle to semi-commercial. Well, it's commercial, but we still regard them as, in the broad term, as an emerging farmer, somebody that will need some kind of support from the state. That is where we even provide our capitalization and development program. And then the fifth one, which is the commercial. We have a definition, and I just don't have it with me here. I was just checking if I can find it, but we can provide it to Honorable Walters. These are the people that we are targeting in terms of outcome 7, where we are saying they are identified also in the National Development Plan in Chapter 6. These are the people who are saying, if properly supported, they can contribute meaningfully to the creation of the 1 million jobs that the agricultural sector can create up to 2013. So we can provide that information. The living and working conditions of farm workers. Of course, we've got to make sure that there's compliance. The shareholders we're talking about of the AgriPath, the 70%, we are talking about black farmers. We're talking about mainly black farmers who will be the shareholders of the AgriPath. We are aware that there will be issues of legislative compliance. Honorable Traveling is asking if somebody who is using a DOP system would be allowed to participate. Currently, we do not specifically exclude such people. Obviously, we'll have to, I'm just saying, we'll be guided by legislative compliance to exclude people. Currently, there's nothing that says you are going to exclude this person or that particular person. I think those are just the specific questions that I would like to respond to, I think DDG Achari will answer the others. Okay. Oh, sorry, before the DDG, the DM would like to come in, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Well, there are a few questions that I need to clear up. The issue of farmers that are smallholder farmers that are complaining that they don't know about the AgriPark. The way we are working on the ground, we are working with the district and the provincial department of agriculture, which in all provinces they've got district offices. So together with them, we assess the whole district, because at the end of the day, the Department of Agriculture needs to give support to individual smallholders around that district on the production that they have started to do. Others they might be doing on small scale, we need to enlarge them so that they produce more. So now it might happen that there are people that access land while the consultation has passed. Like we said, we'll keep on consulting because it is not an ending thing. Others that get to the land after we've consulted, they need also to be put together to the whole team of production. The production plan is when agriculture tell us that in this area, the commodity that are more feasible here is 1, 2, 3, so that we start supporting those commodities. It's not that anyone chose to do what. It's the scientist that says this type of the soil, these are commodities that are feasible, so that all of us will support them together. Issues of other departments, whether they are putting funding. In the district municipalities, we are working with LED section in the district, Department of Agriculture, Department of Economic Development in the province, and ourselves. So now we sit around, because at the end of the day, whatever we are doing here, it must also go to the IGP of the district of that particular local municipality. So the consultation is done. But in most areas, especially in the 27 district, those municipalities, they don't have a budget in the LED section. So these are the municipalities that we are covering mostly because they don't have any budget. But issues of the carpentry and issues of sowing, you know, when we look at the activity of what is happening in the district, because at the end of the day, we must know who is doing business in this district, so that when we need protective clothing, we'll ask the very same people who are sowing, but we must support them so that they are ready, they are properly trained, their skills are refined, so that they are ready when we need protective clothing, we'll procure from them, so that we create the local economy. So when we find people doing on a small scale, for example, if we find people are making cakes, they don't have fridge, they don't have space, they don't have bigger ovens. So what we do as a department is really to make sure that we bring them to the whole scheme so that they run a proper business. We support them and ask them to train certain young people so that they take them to the business, so that the business is upscaled. So this is how we really doing those things. Issues of the AgriPark, whether they are helping the droughts. You know, AgriPark, it's a business, a consolidated activity. Of course, drought is something that comes at a given time. But the AgriPark as a concept, it's not really, we can't say it can really do anything about drought, but the departments that are involved and the municipalities will sit around, as we'll sit around, to see what is it that we can do in support of our farmers. For example, we're quite aware that the season for maize, in terms of the drought, it was hardly heated. So, but for sunflower, then we had to change all these people that were supposed to plow maize in October because it was too hot, it couldn't take it. But in December, January, then they had to plant sunflower, and it is doing well. So I'm trying to say it's really an issue that we all sit around with our scientists, the agricultural scientists, and help us to do that. It's not really the AgriPub and the committee of the AgriPub that will say, no, do this and do that. Issues of Sidibeng, which has got a pollution, the water, the underground water is polluted. If you can notice what we are presenting under the district Sidibeng, we are going on farming on tunnels. Farming on tunnels, we are using the aquaponic farming. Aquaponic farming is really the farming that will not utilize more water because it is a systematic scientific farming. So we have opted for that because the scientists have advised that it's very difficult in other areas to draw underground water. They didn't say the whole district, but they said at some other point in some other areas, there might be a difficulty in drawing the underground water. But, well, if there's pollution that is happening underground there, I think the Department of Water Affairs and the municipalities will be dealing with that, because if it's a pollution from the water works of the municipality, then they need to sort that one. But on our side, we in agriculture, we're supporting the hydroponic farming there. That's why we're building lots of tenants. Well, on the issue of the communal land, the ownership of the AgriPark is a business for the cooperatives. It will be a business at the end of the day that will be transferred to the cooperatives that were trained. So we are busy with training. We are busy with training with the board. The committees are not statutory boards. They are not established in terms of the law. They are established in terms of proper management of those infrastructure and the program there. So issues of the board sitting and all that, it won't be the same as the statutory board because their operation are not really sanctioned by a certain legislation, but it is sanctioned by the betterment of the management of the AgriPark as a program. So it will be very different. But we are going to pay the sitting allowances, but which is not calculated in terms of a statutory body. So, well, I think that's the issue. The issue of the KZN officials who does not know the NARISEC, it's really unfortunate. Really unfortunate. Because the way we are working in all the programs at each and every district, especially in the rural areas, we work with all departments. KZN has got a structure, I just forgotten the name. There's a structure that sits at a district level, at the local municipal level, even at a ward level. The war room, yes. In KZN, we are all aligning to the war room. Every program is getting to the war room. So I don't know where is this person staying, not really attending meetings of the war room at whatever level, because that's how we coordinate. Issues of linking the budget of the AgriPark and the other programs that are continuing there. Yes, we are linking all the programs of the municipality, the local municipality, the district municipality, Department of Agriculture, Economic Development, ourselves. We are putting them together. But what we have presented here now, because we are the champion of the AgriPark, we have presented what we are doing as a department, we are not presenting all the integrated program that are done by other departments, which I think in future we'll do that. But for now, we thought we must present what we are doing, what we are doing as a department, as a coordinator also of the AgriPark. So we'll sort that report correctly. Issues of the farm workers. In other provinces, the premiers have put committees to do some door-to-door in the farms to check exactly what is the situation. We are looking forward for the report, especially the province of Mpumalanga. We are looking forward for the report because our responsibility is to secure the tenure of our farm workers. And that's why we came up with a program, the 50-50 program, strengthening of whatever that we are speaking about. But then, that will come up from help us, which farm can we target to secure the tenure of the farm workers, either to buy the farm for the farm workers and so on, so that we start relieving the problems that are continuing there. Of course, Human Rights Commission is also dealing with that matter. Issues of eviction, we have got a toll-free number, we have got lawyers that we have put in place as a department for them to help us. We're quite aware that, like we have indicated, that Department of Justice, they've got lawyers, but they are not helping us because they don't have permanent people that are dealing with these issues day by day. So we are discussing with them, the minister is discussing with them, so that we have the courts to be really permanent so that these people can be helped. Well, issues of the jobs versus the budget spent at a district. It will differ because there are jobs that we are creating on EPWP. There are jobs that are created which are permanent, but spending more money, but the permanent job would be very little because of the operation that we're dealing with there. We don't have the unpack of a project and the number of people that are there. We took it, we summarized it for the district. But it won't be equal. It won't be equal. The budget can be more because the operation as it stands, it has some expensiveness in terms of the dealing, but in terms of the job creation, will not be too much. So it won't really link to say you use a rent and then there's a rent, there's a person who's getting a job on that rent. So it can be go rent to rent. Well, the last one, Chairperson, it's leaving out the Department of Environment. Not exactly that we have left the Department of Environment. Of course, the EIA are done as part of requirement of NEMA legislation. All the issues that are a requirement in terms of environment, it is done. But the Department of Environment per se, it is not there physically, but we are complying to the NEMA legislation. The signage, we agree with the Honorable Member Mchabeleng. We agree that we need to put signage to all the agri-parks that we have, wherever, whatever, from the main roads, from wherever. We still have to do proper application from the Department of Roads and local municipalities so that we can put the signage of everything. The breaking down of products that are going to be made by the cooperatives like the carpentry and so on, I have explained, Honorable Mchabeleng, that the cooperatives that are there in a district, we support them because there are things that we need them to do for the entire operation of the agri-park. For example, the sowing, this is a rural business or even for one people or for a cooperative, but we want to know so that when we need protective clothing, we'll go to that particular sowing group so that they can really supply those things that we'll be needing, rather than just issuing a big tender, because our responsibility is rural job creation and creating a rural wealth. So rehabilitation of dams, what we are speaking about here, we are not speaking about dams as defined in the water affairs legislation and so on. We are speaking about dams that are water holding for the farmers, and also the ones that are using furrow for irrigations. These are very, very small dams, but it's just water holding in each and every farm. These were the dams that were existing for the farmers, but they were still tight. So we need to rehabilitate them and clean them so that we hold a little bit enough water for them. Others are dams for animal drinking. Others are for dams for irrigation. These are small dams. In fact, they are aware in the language in agriculture. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, DM. Thanks, Chair. I'll only then add in terms of the ones not covered. I think the one by Honourable Walters in terms of the 70-30 issues the DG covered around the emerging farmers. But I think what we need to understand is that this is a long-term program. The AgriParks program is a long-term program. So we're not rushing into any component. Also, it has different components, from production to the issues of processing to the issues of market access. So when we're talking around the 70-30, it's largely around the component that deals with the value addition, because that's the key component around the 70-30 split. So that is not something that you'll find immediately at the moment, because we are working and building that model. In order to get to that model, we have to make sure that the farmers themselves are properly organized and capacitated to participate in this kind of model. So we are developing this particular model of the 70-30 at the moment. But it will come into play when the operations of the hub and SPSU come into play in this year. So at the moment, what we are busy with is creating the enabling infrastructure environment that is required both at the SPSU as well as the Agri Hub and the market access one, and we are focusing on getting the production to the right quality and sustainable level to be able to supply. Otherwise, we'll be putting in the processing components and not be able to supply. So it's a work in progress at the moment, and we're not going and rushing headlong into that. It is a long-term project. In terms of the issue, so again, that links again, Honourable Walters, also with the issue that you raised around the financial viability, and we need to know. So remember that in order for us to present the business case, basically, for the whole agro-processing and the different elements of business, those will come with their own business plan. Each of them will have a business plan, and they'll obviously have to have financial viability in them in order for them to be able to be funded. But we also want to use the broad business plan that we're doing right now to begin to draw in investment into those spaces. So that will begin to do that. So right now, we wouldn't be able to provide you with financial statements of a hub or of an SPSU, because it's not yet operating as a business model at the moment. We are building it up as we speak. And our focus has been on the individual farmers. But even as we support the individual farmers, each of them are supported on the basis of a thorough business plan that has gone through economists and whatever. So we're not just putting money into things that we don't believe will work. And I think it was a question of drought. DM has largely touched on that. We have to adjust some of our plans in terms of the drought, and we did that by then utilizing some of the schemes that have already been supported in terms of irrigation to make sure that we use those areas to plant additional seeds. We've also set up mobile auction facilities across the country to support the farmers, and we're working then very closely through the National Disaster Management Center in any response that we give in that regard. I think the DM has also covered the Westland Agri Park in terms of the groundwater issues. I think that the one that you raised around the emerging businesses, most definitely that detailed work is what we are busy with right now as we set up the cooperatives and as we set up the business model for how the hubs are going to operate. And remember that in a hub, there are going to be several different types of enterprises that are operating, because you're going to have people that are doing your processing. You're going to have companies that are dealing with your logistics. So it's different enterprises, but under an umbrella kind of management structure. Okay, in terms of, honourable member, in terms of the whether we're only focusing on cattle, no, we are focusing on all of the commodities as identified in the Agricultural Policy Action Plan. We were just showing you some of the pictures, but most definitely poultry is included in that, and we are doing work on piggeries even in KwaZulu-Natal. Do we have a monitoring plan to check in terms of relays of provinces? Yes, we have from the level of province up to national various structures. One that reports back to the MINMET in terms of those delays, because Minister has appointed the MECs for agriculture, like the DMS said, to help drive this, as well as the mayors at district level. And we, at an operational level, we meet on a weekly basis to double check from district to national what is going on. But in case it ends, they do now have their draft business plans on the table, except for those parts of the country. Remember, everyone, I was wanting to touch on the business plan issue, that across the country at the moment, 34 draft business plans have already been completed. So they did come in on time at the 29th of February. What we are doing right now is workshopping those business plans with the District Agri-Park Management Councils, because really, Minister wants communities to begin to take ownership of what is happening. And so when we say 31 March, it means the final business plans will then be in once they have consulted. There's 9 districts, and I can just provide you the details of those 9 districts that will be delayed till the middle of April, because we didn't originally get people to appointed on those districts in time. But the rest of the country will be in place by 31. In terms of the officials on the ground and the NARISEC, Jim has covered that, but I should just add that at the moment when we're recruiting for NARISEC across the country, we are recruiting in the areas surrounding the agri-parks, and we have agreed that we are taking 25 people from those areas across the country. So at the moment for this year alone in KwaZulu-Natal, in this first intake that we have, there's about 250 young people that have been taken from those areas in KwaZulu-Natal and are at Tavanchu College at the moment around the Agri-Park areas. So each of the provinces do have these numbers. Honourable Madala, I will check the one off over back and just confirm those differences on our map and the other one. In terms of the involvement of women, youth, and persons with disability, we do also keep that data, and most definitely we are targeting those areas. So I apologize that I did not mention that in terms of what I was speaking about. I think in terms of the issue of funding, the 2 billion rand is the budget. Remember that even when this program was announced, it was not given a separate budget allocation because government didn't have an additional 2 billion somewhere. So within the department, we had to work on how do we target this. But remember that agri-parks are largely within the rural spaces of our country, and a lot of the programs where we were driving before, like your economic infrastructure, etc., would be the same type of work. What we are doing through the agri-parks is becoming more focused in terms of where do we go with our interventions. So the 1 billion rand is coming from the program of rural development, and then the 1 billion rand is coming from recap and development. But all of those, like I'm saying, support the elements of the agri-park. So the agri-park is really becoming an anchor in terms of those programs. And maybe then I'll also answer the one household, one hectare question, that the one household, one hectare is the one where we're increasing production. And that increased production will be flowing back into the agri-parks program. So recap and development, the work that they are doing in helping to make sure that our farms are productive, that production will flow back into the agri-parks. Under rural development, if you remember, we used to also support work in terms of building some of these structures around pack houses, etc. That's the work that we're carrying on doing. Animal and health supports the element of the farmers on the ground to be able to produce better in the agri-parks. So that's the way the 2 billion. So it's not kept aside anywhere. It is the money that we are using at the moment in terms of our work. In terms of the other department's contributions, the DM also covered that. And in some of my slides, what I had indicated was also the contributions that Department of Agriculture in the provinces have been making in this program. If one looks at the Gauteng sites at the moment, a lot of that work is being done by the Department of Agriculture in Gauteng. So most definitely, the provinces are putting in their money, as well as other departments, even at a national level. We even have commitments from departments like DGI, etc., into the program. And I think we will have to find that matrix way of showing them how the monies are flowing from everyone into the program. That then goes beyond the $2 billion that is the department's money at the moment. Okay, DJ has covered the one of the compliance and DM. In terms of the design for the Agri Parks itself, most definitely, Honorable Sukani, in terms of the training, in terms of the Agri Hubs, a component has been set aside for training as well as demonstration parks, as well as components that deal with research and technology innovation, because we want to make sure that all of this is driven, because there's a lot of innovation happening in the agricultural sector at the moment, and we have to make sure that we stay aligned to that. So there will be, and there will be accommodation provided in those facilities for that training to happen. So it's a critical component. Then in terms of the water supply and the energy supply, what we are trying to do in terms of how we want to design each of the hub components is trying to say that people must try and move towards renewables in the design of the project. So we are trying to push that in terms of how the designs are coming out so that it allows for this long-term sustainability, especially around the costs, etc. I think Jim has covered around the jobs, and most definitely it depends on the type and nature of project, the job you think would then cost differently. We are linking with key existing programs of government. You'll see there, that's what I'm saying, on the production side, we're just simply beginning to focus and zoom in terms of particular impact spaces. So you'll see that even agriculture's CAF, ILIMA, LETSIMA, our own programs, other programs of department are all beginning to converge around the issues of agri-parks. One would also look at the DGI, for example, in terms of the and EDD, in terms of the special economic zones, etc. We all are beginning to come together around these spaces of the agri-park. So it's most definitely something that's linking the programs of government itself. In terms of the structure of bringing in the private sector, we are currently working out an investment type of model so that we are able to deal then with that issue of how private sector comes on board in terms of all of the projects. The Department of Environment, I think DM has covered that, are most definitely part of our project. In terms of each of the projects that would be listed there, we have detailed projections for our projects within the department, and we monitor those projects in terms of the department. Now, even for the agri-parks, we have high-level milestone activities that have been set. That's why we're able to report on sort of milestones in terms of where we wanted to be at a different point in time. In terms of the EIAs, etc., we do all of those. And the last question was around that map that I had around the catchment areas. What we've done is we've looked at catchment areas surrounding firstly the hub components and then catchment areas surrounding the farmer production support units. So that's why you'll see the circles probably going in different areas, maybe 100 kilometers from the hub component, looking at transportation costs and those kind of things in order to move goods to that central component. That's what we've looked at, working with CSIR and other components. In terms of the business plans, Chair, I think I've responded. The drafts are already on the table, and once they have been consulted, we can most definitely make the final ones available then to yourself. In terms of the type of enterprises that are supported, we're supporting a variety of enterprises, and one must understand that even as we're doing the AgriPass program, we will not only focus on agricultural enterprises, because there are a number of spin-off enterprises that will be coming out of this. So even if one looks at carpentry as something, you're going to need carpentry to be able to be there when we are building all of these structures. So it's very critical to look at this thing in terms of the whole value chain of enterprises that one would require, from your construction type enterprises and moving forward into the other enterprises on the other side that would come because of the processing that's going to happen in this particular area. You're going to look at enterprises around your renewables themselves. You have to start setting them up in order for this to be able to flow parallel, and that's the kind of linkages that we see in this. If one looks at even the sewing one, all right, and we look at it, we must look at it in terms of the whole value chain. Because on the one side, what we are doing at the moment is supporting farmers
on cotton farming, for example. But we're supporting them as a generally. And we want to move into the whole textile support, right to the point that the person at the end is the one then that is producing, like the DM says, the goods that are needed for those agri-parts. So we really want to see the linkages between all of the enterprises that we create. And I think we are able then, Chairperson, to also indicate those various enterprises. At the moment, the bulk is around agriculture, but there are other types of enterprises that we are moving to support. I think I've answered, Chairperson. Thank you. And maybe, before we conclude, Chair, I don't know, we wanted to know if we would be having 5 minutes. We could show you the video clip that shows the vision of the AgriPark till 2025, and I think it will also give a good understanding of the program.
Members, do you have any follow-up questions? Honorable Magaza? Identify them. I just want to.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm touched by the response made by the DM in connection with the irrigation schemes. You know, there were irrigation schemes that were there in the Eastern Cape, since Mzumkulu was at the Eastern Cape, and then incorporated into KZN. There is an irrigation scheme that is called Malenge Irrigation Scheme. That was built during the Ngqoha era. And then the former DM, Deputy Speaker, Honorable Chisa, visited that area. And then the dams were revitalized. Maybe you remember this. Now, the dams are there, but there's nothing that is happening there. The furrows are full, and then the water is all over the farm of Malenge, but there's nothing that is happening to those people. The MPs, I would urge your department, your office, to look at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I welcome the responses on two of my questions. The first one being that of the differences in the establishment of the jobs, the answer that was given by the DM, as well as the response by the presenter on the involvement of the private sector. Chair, may I request the department when next they come to report on this, if they could give us more refined DM, I don't mean this was rough, I mean more detailed information, because an answer that says in some provinces the jobs were in a sense subsidized by the EPWP is rather far from giving us what we would like to know. I know establishing a job is a huge, hugely important input cost, especially going forward, given the fact that you want to hand over to the cooperatives later. So we would love to know exactly what the cost, of establishing this job is, excluding the EPWP factor, or including it, but more specifically, what did your funding contribute towards establishing the jobs? Now, about the involvement of the private sector, I understand the fact that it's still early days, but what is the formula of involving the private sector? Because we're almost like running some kind of experimentation here, and at a certain point you will want to exit and want to know what is the formula? What will be the formula so that even that private sector can prepare themselves to be involved appropriately? Thank you, Chair.
DM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will start with the EPWP one. I'm saying it's EPWP way of creating jobs, because it is a responsibility of all of us. If it is EPWP way, it's when you train people, for example, you want to build fence dividing grazing camps. You call the farmers, because most of them are unemployed. Those who are not at a pensionable age, you contract them, you train them, you give them material, they build their own fence, and they put their own strength on the fence, understanding their animals, and you pay them stipend for 3 months or 6 months. That is registered as an EPWP. But it's not done by public works, it's done by us, because that's the way of creating jobs. So that's the reason I said EPWP way. The issue of the NGOGA water schemes, irrigation schemes, there's NGOGA, there's Village. These are two schemes that are at that district, Krisani. It's the schemes that we've put money. We understand that the money that was put 2012, 2013, it was never spent because it was not moving in terms of that irrigation. I was there 2014, and from last year, 2015, this financial year, we've put money, so we are rehabilitating the whole scheme, and we are revitalizing all the furrows. That's what we are doing, like you're saying, we rehabilitate the dams. We are doing that at NGOGA and is it NGOGA? Yes, NGOGA and Village. So now if the farmers, they still have got problems of the furrows going haywire in the field, I think it is still in the process, because what we have done that we have revitalized the silt dams. Now we must also create the furrow and also decide whether do we still need to irrigate all the furrow, because the furrow needs more water, or do we need to use another system of irrigation so that we minimize the loss of water. So I think we are there, is the one that we are saying, but I'm going to look at it if you said it is not properly done. The question that I thought it was not answered is the system of the supply of water and the irrigation that and electricity that the honorable member has asked. But because we are doing the drawing and design of the buildings, we have said to our consultant, please, we need energy efficient. If there is any problem of that, we must do an alternative, because all the areas where we're operating, especially the rural district, there's too much of the sun. So the energy is too much. So I think the solar will work very better. We have made a study. We visited a fresh produce in which is called Rugis. So Rugis, the whole building is solar. It is roofed by solar. So the electricity is 24/7. And you see the area is in France. But so in South Africa, then it will be better. So that's what we are trying to address, to discuss with our consultant. The negotiated price, the honorable member also asked about transportation, who's going to pay for transport. Transportation is another building in the value chain. It's another business in the value chain. So we are not going to run transport for our people. The logistics will be determined by the type of commodities that will be needed in the agri-park. Then the logistic will be another business to take from farm A, B, and Z to the agri-park. That's why we are speaking about a 50-kilometer radius. But there will be those ones that are more far, especially in the Northern Cape, because the area is too vast. So there will be lots of transportation that is going on there. The negotiated price, well, the agri-park has become now the market of all our farmers. Because as it stands now, there are middle people in the fresh produce that are existing now. Those middle people are people that are buying from the farmer and selling to the fresh produce. on a certain price. Now we are removing the middle person. Whoever is going to buy is going to buy from the agri-park. So the price will be set as it is set. We know there's a season of this, then the price of maize is at this level. There's a season of this, it's out of season. Then there are such prices that are done by the scientists and the agricultural research council. So we want to protect our farmers, because as it stands now, one cabbage, for example, in the feeding scheme somewhere, one cabbage, it is bought by 5 rand, it is sold in the state in 60 rand for the feeding scheme. Now we'll set the price properly so that even the farmer must benefit, rather than be benefiting because things will really be damaged. So now we don't have the exact negotiated price, but it will go in terms of seasons as how agriculture it works in the country. Thank you.
There was an outstanding question on the participation of horses and also the I'm not sure whether you have answered the one for the identification of the location of the agri-park. How do you identify where the agri-park is supposed to be, the criteria? Then, the terms of reference of who qualifies to participate. Then I will come to members. Let us finish the first round of questions.
Okay, thanks. I think the one on the horseshoe that are participating in the DAMCs, remember the District Agri-Park Management Councils have a variety of institutions and organizations that are participating in it. And included in them is two representatives from the traditional council. And they then, as a committee, choose who their chairperson is going to be. So it is not the department that chooses who must be the chairperson or the deputy chair of the District Agri-Park Management Council. So indeed they may in some cases have chosen a Hoshi as the chair, and that is a decision that they would have made and recommended to the department. We have the details of all of the chairs and deputy chairs for the DAMCs, and we'll supply those details, chairperson, to you. In terms of the criteria for site identification, we went through a very detailed analysis process together with CSIR, with DGI, with EDD, with DAF, and our department. And we looked at where the commodities are in the country. We looked at current existing infrastructure networks. We looked at current existing infrastructure in terms of processing. We looked at where the farmers are in the country. So there's layers of different information that was put together to determine where the most suitable site would be, which would give us the best economic advantage. And we linked very closely with the department, with Economic Development Department, because they had worked in terms of what is referred to as what's a global gateway, what's a local gateway, what's a domestic gateway. So we linked closely in terms of that. We aligned closely in terms of APAP. So it was a very much a scientific process in the first round. And we then sent that information through and that full detailed analysis to the provinces and the districts. They worked together, and in many cases, they confirmed that those sites indeed were the correct sites. In other cases, for different reasons, they may have indicated that they are suggesting a change. But it had to still match certain criteria. It couldn't just be, anywhere. It had to match certain criteria in terms of suitability. And once that was given in, then all the sites were confirmed, and the MECs then presented as the MINMEC of the department, and it was then accepted, and that's where the work is happening. But it has all been based with agriculture and with the relevant departments in identification.
Is it a follow-up or a new question?
Yeah, it's on the answer about that. It's, the department and us, we are leaders in rural development. So we chart the way by talking to people, interpreting their needs, and then coming up with programs to answer the questions that they will solve communities to solve their problems. But at the same time, we need again to say, people who participate in this are people who should be having this kind of skills. You know, in my village, there's a very popular old man who is a very good person, and he gets elected in all sorts of committees. He cannot even read nor write, but he's a very honest old man. And if we don't say this is the criteria for people to serve as board members, then we'll have that old man in my village being the chairperson of that board. And because he doesn't have management skills, he has them at a village level in terms of managing what is happening in the village. But then if we are bringing other people, farmers and other smallholders, there are lots of business interests in this. This is a business. This is not charity. It's actually a big business exercise. And then I thought that the department will say people who qualify to be the chairperson of this board should have this kind of skills, because people who serve in the board bring different skills on the board. You don't just bring people, all of them are priests, to serve in the committee. We'll all be a committee of praying people, you know. But at least we'll need somebody with financial skills and all this and that. We'll need prayers too. But I think we need to say, these are the skills that I needed to run this program. Otherwise, we're going to end up dealing with conflict management, making interventions, putting some of them under section, whatever. And then, DG, you're going to spend most of your time answering questions that are, you know, mistakes that we did by not saying who qualifies to be to serve in management. You know, you may even have people of the Taxi Association managing this thing, the chairperson of the Taxi Association. Not that there's nothing, there's something wrong with people in the Taxi Association, but I think they've got lots in their hands than to deal with matters of agriculture. I think we need to have a real look at this, otherwise it will explode in our faces.
I think that comment has been noted. Honorable Mandela, Honorable Magala, Honorable Walters, you are the last one on this matter, so that you proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Just a follow-up to what the DDG was now indicating in terms of the criteria. DDG, with respect, if one looks at the site in the Overberg, then if you have followed this particular criteria that you have indicated, then it baffles one's mind that the location is an ex officio Bredazzo. The largest amount of farms, large amount of produce, stoffen produce, are located in the Tierwaterskloof municipality. It's closest to the transport network and everything. So I really don't, perhaps I need to be educated around it, but it doesn't make sense at all. I don't even want to mention Overstrand because it would not belong there at all. Unless you want to create not an agri park, but an eco park, then I would say Overstrand would be the best place to have it, Chair. The issue of the recap project, the indication there are two recap projects involved. I'm talking now specifically about the Overberg one, DM. Now, I've raised it before. There's one recap project, one farm, smallholder farm, who have complained bitterly, and I've raised this before, about DG, how things are unfolding. There's a business plan that has been approved. Our staff have come down and changed everything without consulting, any consultation. In Excel, if one looks at the equipment, but the complaint is the equipment that has been agreed to in a business plan has been completely changed. And the fear is that that project is going to fail because of the fact that the requirements that are needed that have been developed and in actual fact put in place by mentors, by economists appointed by the department, specialists appointed by the department to help with the business plan, that thing has been varied and changed without giving due consideration for the impact that is going to have. So there is a fear that perhaps amongst our officials there is an attempt to sabotage this kind of projects. I hope it's not the case, but as I said before, unless this issue are being addressed or has been addressed, this concern will always be there. And I must say, DM, to date, one do not get, DG, one don't get the joy that the department is in essence taking these issues that one has raised seriously. There are recap projects in Tierwaters Kloof also, in Ward 9 for that matter. I can be very specific. We also raise a lot of issues with regard to how officials on the ground, especially our officers in the in Bredazo, changes things, punish them if they raise issues with senior officials or even with myself, Chair. And this can't continue because the fear is the project like this will fail, and at the end of the day, it will be government that is failing our people, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. To me, it's not a follow-up. It's just a clarification in my follow-up. The DM, what I raised was Malenge Irrigation Scheme that was built together with the Noha Irrigation Scheme. I'm just clarifying that issue. If we can visit that area, I can be very excited then.
Chair, I'm certainly on the whole very positive about the concept behind this. I get what it's about. It's actually about the examples that were mentioned. It's about to create efficiencies, forward integration, backward integration, attract investment, leverage the different abilities, create essentially an enabling business environment. But I would like to support what Member Ntabeleng said. I think something like this can very easily be sidetracked by confusing what this is about. This is about creating viable business and investment opportunities. This is not an exercise in much as public participation is important. It's not in itself a public participation exercise. It's not about necessarily electing the most popular person it's actually about identifying successful emerging farmers, making sure that the proper business model works. And I do think one has to have discipline around that. I think otherwise one can get, you can have one year wonderful feel-good exercises, and then the whole project will come to force. So I do think I'm very interested in how this unfolds. I'm very interested in whether the promise of this particular approach is being fulfilled. I also think another comment that I wanted to make is I'm concerned about the smallholder. The DG to some extent covered my question. But I'm concerned about an overemphasis on smallholder farming. I do think there's also space for a larger agribusinesses that the ownership structure might be transformed. Looking at, for example, black-owned businesses, I think there should be space for that as well in this. And I'm not talking about, some one individual that owns all the businesses. Talking about things like share equity schemes, things where farm dwellers, communities that where they own shareholding in bigger businesses. I also think there's the potential for incentivizing that as well in terms of the kind of partnerships that are created. And then the other thing that I wanted to say, look, just as an aside, I think we're all both here for they're looking at the big picture in South Africa, but we also come from constituencies in particular areas. So like Member Madela knows the Oeverberg, I know the West Rand very well. I've seen the pollution taking place in a place like Brandvlei and in Eikenhof in the West Rand district. I've seen it's where things like acid mine drainage also takes place, getting into the groundwater. So I just think, I think with those particular agri box, that is something that needs to be worked into the risk assessment there and checked before a huge investment is put in to make sure that there's some mitigation strategy in place. And then lastly, Chair, I think the reason I'm signing so positive is because both yourself and the
Deputy Minister have a wonderful color coding today, and I think that's a good strategy to get our support.
And the digital spectacles.
That is not the way you think or you see. That's opposite.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think we have been engaging on this matter for quite some time. The department is still going to appear before us and make some presentation on this matter. But let me just emphasize the issue of the Malenge, that let that be a follow-up on that project, and the report be submitted to the committee, and the report on the 9 districts that were delayed. Which are those districts? Honorable members, I think these projects are in our constituency. If you've got time, you can just visit those projects so that next time when the department comes, at least you have got the picture, like honorable, you know, Madela. At least he understands what is happening at Overbeck. The issue of the quality assurance, I will ask the department to make sure that before any document is being submitted to the committee, let that document be corrected, because we would not want the situations whereby the document is corrected during the presentations, shifting of dates, you know, all these things. When a document is in front of us, we are considering the information that has been submitted to us, nothing else. Then I think the issue of the compliance has been emphasized, together with the issue of that people with a disability must also benefit from this project. And also follow up we made on the recap project in the Overbeck. I think that is also one matter that has been raised during the public hearings. The interference of the departmental officials, you know, in changing the decisions of the beneficiaries of recap. The policy on the framework on the smallholder farmers, I think, also needs to be submitted to the committee. I think I've captured all the issues that you raised, unless if there's something that is outstanding. Honorable Walters?
Chair, it might be something we want to give more consideration to at a later stage, but I certainly would like to see some type of a call it a business viability breakdown. Something along the lines of what's been invested into what from which budget, and what is the is coming out of it, what's the production, for example, the production volumes that in the various, whether it's processing or whether it's in raw production, what is the monetary value of that, some kind of a breakdown like that going into the future. I think what we need, it's really a kind of a dashboard looking at all these agri-pots, and it tells us immediately, you know, whether it's progressing towards full viability. If we get it right, this is the kind of thing that can make land reform self-funding. So I think if there's one thing we need to take seriously as a committee, I think it's this particular project. Thanks.
I think we have noted that one. I think let's have just a short break. Or let us the issue of the video first, then which will be followed by the presentation on Rama. My scope time now.
Our rural areas and small towns are thriving with AgriPark, providing communities with jobs, food security, and opportunities to prosper. AgriParks are one of the cornerstones of rural economic transformation that started in 2015 when the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform launched the AgriParks program nationwide. South Africa is a rich land with good soil and a nation of people willing to work. But in 2015, 1915, the nation still suffered the effects of its apartheid past. Laws such as the Native Land Act of 1913 had left the rural landscape of the country fragmented and without sustainable economic opportunities. The AgriParks program was a bold initiative that sought to break down this exclusion and bring rural communities together.